welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Froyen. Joining us in this hour is going to be a man who's well lived through America and is residing in Canada as well at this time, Jeffrey Matt, who's been on the show many times before with Daniel, with me once, and regularly with me again as we take on the forces of darkness. And as the commercial said, that's the thing, when I'm on hold with somebody, I don't get to hear the commercials, but, you know, we do have promotions here at the Power Hour. On sale this week at Power Hour Mall, 10% off site-wide for the rest of the month, no code necessary, discount applies at checkout, excludes dropship products. Do take advantage. Fuel this radio station with some power it needs, and we can save lives, save countries, and save our souls, which is something the competition, mainstream, are trying to take away from you with all the flurry that they can muster, because it is a war, a spiritual war, between information sources. And the Bible is very, very clear. I post that on my little thing on Marshall McLuhan, that he figured it out. That Satan is the prince of the air waves. That's his battle field, and he controls the field. So we have to take the high ground back. And it's a battle. A big battle. Battle of words. And one man who can wield those weapons very, very well is our guest today, Jeffrey Matt. Welcome aboard, Jeffrey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on again, George. And I just want to extend my personal thanks to the listenership, and particularly Daniel, because Daniel gave me an opportunity. I'm new on the scene. And so this is for Daniel. I'm going to try to bring some information to his listenership, and hopefully it brings benefit and value to everybody. Because I grew up about half my life in the States, and I just have some really great memories. And one of the things I've come to understand and really appreciate is the psychology of freedom, the psychology that we are in control of our destiny in America. And we have the tools, we have the Constitution, all that. So I was really big into that. And with research over the years, and I had help from Jordan Maxwell and many others, of course, but he was sort of the main guy. I learned so much about America and really what makes it so unique. And I came across information that I, you know, that Jordan had mentioned and other people had reconfirmed over the years, that the U.S., as a constitutional republic was altered and changed into a corporation. So I was upset, you know, because that's not what I was learning in high school, you know. And so over the years I studied and learned, and like I said in the previous show, I just want to repeat it again. I am not an authority in anything. I'm not a forensic expert. I'm just a guy who's interested in knowing the truth and then sharing what I've learned. And one of the things I've come across here that will help make some points today is that to try to demonstrate that to understand the problem, you have to know what's going on. And one of the keystones of all this is knowing that the United States is a corporation, not a constitutional republic as it is to my knowledge today. How in the world could I possibly make that such a claim? Well, let's go to Cornell Law School on the internet and go to the Legal Information Institute. And on Title 28, it's the U.S. Code Title 28, Judiciary and Judicial Procedure. And there's a lot of, you know, extra material here, but the part that I want to discuss is that there's a definition of a state. And the state, it means any of several states, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Commonwealth of Northern Marianas, or any territory or possession of the United States. And then right below here, this is really where the peanut butter hits the toast or the rubber hits the road. The definition from Cornell Law School on the internet says that the United States means a federal corporation. So you know, there's going to be a lot of fuss and muss about all this, but the point why I'm bringing this up again over and over is that if we understand what we're dealing with when we approach the issue with COVID and our freedom and the constitutional republic and our right to have liberty, life, and pursuit of happiness, we have to understand what happened. And so it's not about a blame game, it's about understanding. And so one of the things, the main goals of today's talk is to get sort of nitty gritty about certain things, but I'll give you the sort of the nutshell version of it. This whole COVID thing, most people have heard of John Hopkins Hospital, and also there's a Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And, you know, even if you go on the internet on their own website of johnhopkins.edu, you know, jhsph.edu, it says it on their main page, Bloomberg School again ranked number one, the public health school in the nation, the number one public health. So everybody has probably heard of Johns Hopkins, but is that really American? Is the COVID response scenario that we're all living through, not just in America for the American people, but also I'm in Canada, but it's really for the Western world and overwhelming the whole world, but particularly it's focused on us. And is it really American? And I went and looked at the Johns Hopkins website, and I found another one called the Center for Health Security. And right on the main page, it says, our mission is to protect people's health from epidemics and disasters and ensure that communities are resilient to major challenges. Now, when I read that, it's all corporate jargon, and it sort of sounds good and sort of partially reassuring. But, and then, so these people, there's high-end, corporate, international, you know, PhD-level kind of people. They came out, Johns Hopkins basically came out with a document called the SPARS Pandemic 2025 to 2028 from the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. So they have a breakdown of an analysis of a theoretical outcome that is very similar to what's happening right now. Now, you know, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we're going to talk about where all this policy, where I think it's really coming from, and is it American? And the answer is no, but we're going to talk about that more in detail. But in this SPARS document, you can, you know, go look it up yourself, and all the titles of the documents are going to be in this show. I recommend everybody who is interested in this material to download the show, keep it. If you have a chance to make a contribution to this network to keep this kind of material out there, please do so. And so, and on basically in the first page, it says the possible future in 2025, and that they have to deal with this pandemic that's theoretical from 2025 to 2028. But on the first page, it says that they have this thing called medical countermeasures. And I was wondering, what in the world is a medical countermeasure? Basically, it's anybody who doesn't agree with this narrative, anybody who doesn't think something is incorrect or incomplete or doesn't agree with it or finds information that could be contradictory to this scenario would be, you know, basically spoken against, okay, banned, censored, and removed from the current media mainstream news. And so these medical countermeasures, when I hear countermeasure, I think of a military, I think of militarized. And so this is one of the things I wanted to get your opinion on, George, is that I think that we are facing in today's existing, the real world situation that we have, we are facing medical countermeasures where people who want to know what's going on, are the masks, is it really a legitimate solution, the mask? Is double masking, does that make sense, triple masking? Well, there's people out there who work in the social media world who spend all their days finding people who want to know what's going on and make sure that they never make it. They're isolated, they're deleted and banned. And I just want to know, what are your thoughts on that?
They're killing us. Triple mask is like triple tap. Double mask, double tap. So if you're into shooting and firearms training, you know, two shots to the center of the chest is generally what you're aiming for. One just isn't enough. You want to be sure you take your adversary down. So single mask isn't good enough. Double mask is like double tap. Triple mask is triple tap. I'm cutting the supply of oxygen to your body by a more significant rate. That will allow you to get sicker faster and bring you down and get my numbers up. So that way I can say I have a bigger, better crisis that requires more repression to make you sick. And then, of course, the numbers will go up. More people are dying. Well, we need to do more of this and more of that. There's an old Chinese thing. If it was a mistake, if you're rowing in the, it doesn't matter how hard you row if you're rowing in the wrong direction. We're rowing in the wrong direction with all this, for sure. But I think it's well orchestrated, well navigated, and well planned. That they're purposely putting us in an environment so that even people that have healthy immune systems run the risk of weakening their immune systems to get sick. And then they can spout their numbers a little higher and a little higher and a little higher until ultimately we're all part of this. Plato's laws of logic come in. If this is the way it is, then it has to be. That's the first law. What is, is. So you look at sub-Saharan Africa as an excluded middle. They have 1% of the deaths, and they don't have intensive care beds. But they have hydroxychloroquine. And they use it as a prophylactic. And people aren't getting sick, and people aren't dying. So we could do the same thing, and if we cut our death rate by 99%, that would probably be a big victory. But we're not allowed to have a victory because then the crisis is over. So anything that has to be done has to exacerbate the crisis to make it worse. And then the only way out is to use psychological warfare techniques, which are what these lockdowns are all about, because you only do a lockdown to people in a prison, and we're in a big prison. They lock us down to break down our resolve, to weaken us, humiliate us, break us spiritually, psychologically, physically. And then you get to a point, I'll do anything to get out. I'll do anything. And there's somebody waiting there with a needle to give it to you. So it's all part of a well-orchestrated plan. These people think. They think deeply and well, believe me. They've done great psychological analysis on us and who's going to break and how. And unfortunately, that's too many. But primarily, is people just don't know what's being done against them. They have absolutely no idea. A lot of the speakers at that Tulsa, Oklahoma conference gave a big idea. And Jeffrey Prather, the military intelligence whistleblower, you know, he got into some great details into that and said quite clearly that we're in a warfare phase with China. We've been at it since 1999. He also said Obama's running the show from that little location 3 blocks away from the White House, and Biden's just his little puppet to manipulate. He made that quite plain from his sources in intelligence. That's the case. He's running the deep state from the human side anyway. And that's something we have to come to grips with. The game is not fair in any way, shape, or form. And everything they're going to do to us is a weapon to be used against you. And when you follow their advice, you're going to hurt yourself, your family, maybe even kill yourself.
And the whole, I mean, so today, you know, what I want to do and what you've been doing, George, is trying to bring awareness that those who want to know, those who want to create a completely different outcome. I think there's hope, because I didn't really present a lot of hope in the last show we did together, but I think there is hope for the individual who wants to know. And there is hope because the American people have the psychology and the education for many, many years that we are a free people and we have the Constitution. So that psychology can override a lot of this psychological warfare. And so getting back to what I was discussing about the sparse thing, well, I kept looking at John Hopkins and is this American? Where is this all coming from? And I found another document. It's from John Hopkins Center for Health Security again. It's called Preparedness for a High Impact Respiratory Pathogen Pandemic. And this came out in September 2019. And so the thing is not to go over all the documents. It's too boring. The part that I want everybody who's listening in to hopefully, reap the rewards of my work, research, is that on page 2 it says this report was commissioned and by and prepared for the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. So who in the world is that, right? What's that all about? Well, they are, it's a major foundation. It's under the United Nations, and they're connected to what I would consider, most people in the States and around the world have heard of Georgetown University, because I started seeing this GPMB, the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, starting to appear, not just with John Hopkins, but also with Georgetown University. And here's another document for those people who are interested in doing their own homework. It's called Governance Preparedness, Initial Lessons from COVID-19, Background Report Commissioned by the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. And this is for Georgetown University in July of last year, 2020. So this Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, they do all kinds of work in the background, and they feed it to universities and hospital infrastructure around the world, including Johns Hopkins. This is the basic goal today. And another document that they did, the GPMB, is called A World in Disorder. So the whole business model is to change America so that it doesn't ever have a chance to free itself and reestablish itself as what I would hope for is a constitutional republic. So they have an overwhelming mountain of pressure of all these documents and think tanks and everything. But these are the think tanks that are behind the scenes that most people have never heard of, and that's why I'm bringing them up. And if I look at that document, A World in Disorder by the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, on page 2, it says it's a World Health Organization. So that's the United Nations. And the United Nations was set up by the Rockefellers, and they gave the money, they donated the land, and this has been growing ever since, and it's been growing like a cancer inside of America for decades. And most people, not the listenership, of course, I'm so lucky to have access to such a high caliber, upper crust group of people, of individuals, but they understand that it's two different entities, and it's been growing inside of America for a long time, and it's been basically merging with the U.S. government and taking over one institution and one group at a time. And it's not necessarily all in our favor. And I did even more homework. I kept saying, well, where can I find more about this GPMB? And I ended up finding a document called Advancing Epidemics, Research and Development to Keep Up with a Changing World, Progress, Challenges, and Opportunities. And it's from the Wellcome Trust. So I'm going to do a little bit of a recap later, but because it is a lot of information, but this is for the people who want to understand where all this COVID stuff is coming from. You know, it's not just what the mainstream news will tell you. This, I'm showing you three, up to four layers down, and how it actually is being administered and managed and processed in what people will call today the United Kingdom. And I'm not talking about the British people. They're great. I've worked with some British people. I have friends there. I'm not talking about the great British people out there. I'm talking about private institutions working in the background, feeding and doing all this harvesting, and we're the guinea pigs. And so in this document from the Wellcome Trust on page 2, right, you don't have to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the part that's important. The section is called Background. At the request of Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, the Wellcome Trust has developed this report as a contribution to the development of the board's first annual report. So you're going to say, okay, so we have the Johns Hopkins, and they rely on the GPMB, and the GPMB seems to rely on the Wellcome Trust, and I'm giving you documents, and I'm giving you the page, I'm giving you the exact quotes. So I ended up finding out that the Wellcome Trust is actually, it's multiple corporations, and you can look it up on Dun & Bradstreet. on the internet. You just type in the Wellcome Trust and you'll see it's all there. So there's no surprises, and it's not me making it up. And so you can look that up, but here's the part that I find very interesting. On the Wikipedia page, I understand most people may not all respect Wikipedia, but it's a great stepping stone to learning. And so this part on the Wellcome Trust on the Wikipedia page says, in 2012, the Wellcome Trust was described by the Financial Times as the United Kingdom's largest provider of non-governmental funding for scientific research and one of the largest providers in the world. So these people are big-time think tanks, AI, computer, genetic, you know, super cutting edge. But in the background, right, very few people have heard of the Wellcome Trust. They've never heard of the GPMD, but they've heard of John Hopkins. So this is why I'm talking about this. And the Wellcome Trust was set up many, many years ago, and he was basically a pharmaceutical guy, okay? Henry Wellcome, I think that's what his name was. And later on in the 90s, a portion of those shares were sold to Glaxo Smith Kline and Glaxo Wellcome. So that's also in the UK as well. And I looked at some of their subsidiaries. It's like 6 to 10 pages of corporations that are like a giant umbrella underneath Glaxo Smith Kline of dozens and dozens and dozens of corporations, and it's all based in the UK. And so the Wellcome Trust has adopted GlaxoSmithKline, and they are definitely involved with the management of COVID, period. Are they the 100% bottom line? No. But is it much, much closer than most people have ever heard? Yes. And I went to the GlaxoSmithKline website, and they said that, you know, on their main pages, we're a science-led global healthcare company, not American, not to help the American health. It's a global healthcare company. And they say here, our goal is to be one of the world's most innovative, best performing, and trusted healthcare companies. So this is the whole system of COVID is just one entity. It's broken up into a whole bunch of different names, sort of like the fast food industry. You can get a hamburger at Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King. It's all hamburgers. But it's one system. And hopefully when we come back, we can expound on that together with George.
Indeed, indeed. This is Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host, George Freund, Jeffrey Matt with us, and we're dissecting these trusts and corporations for your benefit. See you on the other side of the break.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution. It's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were to drink it, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your mammoth food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
This week only, we're offering 10% off all products found at thepowermall.com. That's right, 10% off all Power Mall products through the end of the week. That's 10% off all Power Mall products, excluding all drop shipped items. Call Jay right now at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or as always, buy from the good guys, buy from thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, offer valid this week only.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us in this segment, Jeffrey Matt, for a nice dissertation on corporations. I was going through some of my old notes from time before, and, you know, I try to keep as much as I can stored so that I can retrieve it later if I ever remember that I put it there in the first place. And, you know, here was a couple I went over on the break: Internal Revenue and Tax Audit Service, for-profit General Delaware Corporation, Incorporated, 7-12-1933, Federal Reserve Association, nonprofit Delaware Corporation, Incorporated, 9-13-14, Central Intelligence Authority, Incorporated, for-profit General Delaware Corporation, 3983, and a host of others. And that's, you know, a big surprise for people, because it's for the first time you're seeing reality, what reality really is, not the lies that I explained in the beginning, Plato's noble lie that the state uses that they pass off to you. A part of the noble lie could be, you know, on a lighter side, that we inculcate our children to believe in Santa Claus and everybody participates in that for the greater, you know, happiness or something like that. But fundamentally, it's a lie, and twisted and manipulated, Plato's version of governments telling lies for the benefit of the state deteriorate, because there is no state, it's a corporation. So the lie is manifested to maximize profit, and whatever maximizes profit will go by. When I was mentioning before about the Canadian Municipal Police standing up to our Ontario Premier, Doug Ford, I'd forgotten the little news blast my son sent me just before the show. He sent me a copy of a tweet of Jagmeet Singh, the head of our New Democratic Party, or socialist wackos, and he has written to Justin Trudeau asking him to consider using the Federal Emergencies Act to help Ontario to secure vaccines and to help people and get them working. This is a bit of a countermeasure to the police saying we're not going to do your papers thing. And basically, you're declaring martial law light. And sources were telling me that that was the next step. And maybe that's why the municipal police chiefs and police commission stood up, is they knew what the next step was, and they did their best to take it off the tracks. And good people, really good people to do that. This is why I was talking about General Romeo Dallaire versus General Charles Gordon. When you're given great power and great responsibility to serve, and if you understand you're serving people as opposed to kings, potentates, poobahs, a politburo, a corporation, then you realize that with that responsibility comes a supreme duty to do what is right. And that is supposed to be the motto of our national police force, the RCMP, to maintain the right. But frequently that's just turned askew and they just maintain the wrong for the status quo. And that's most unfortunate, because at the beginning stages, it was the other way around. That's what earned them the respect they had. And that's walking the moral high road, just as Mr. Prather said in his dissertation, too, at the Health and Freedom Conference, talking about Jesus and his walk, and how you're flayed and beaten to the ground, because you have a position of moral responsibility. You are going to lead a world away from a form of ruthlessness. And when you're beaten to the ground and the centurions are stomping on you, what did he have to do to achieve his purpose and our reward? He had to stand up and carry the burden of that cross. And when you're put in great positions of responsibility too, and they're beating you into the ground, which they will and do, what is your moral imperative? To stand up and carry that cross. And the end result for you might be they nail you to it when you arrive at your destination. But you'll have done your service to God and to your fellows, and receive your reward in a place the others can't even begin to understand. So to people who are in responsible positions, remember, much is expected of you by the God Most High. Do not let him down, because it's an easy job if we all stand up together at the same time. Remember, being much younger and with the boys, we were going to the Canadian Police College in Ottawa, and we were at some type of tabernacle of one sort or another. There was probably 50 of us, and we were in there. Nobody knew who we were or that we were all together, because we're just sitting in different places. And some big tough guy started a fight with one of our brethren and was starting to give him a real hard time. Can't remember how dubious a fellow he was, but instantly the other 49 stood up. You laying a hand on our brother? And then that man sat down rather quickly. That was a good life lesson. Stand up. Okay, Jeffrey, we have to tie some knots here with corporations, trusts, and the master plan for human enslavement. Please carry on.
Great, great. And I agree with you. And just as before I continue, I wanted to say that sometimes the information I present, it's like, oh, it's corporations and it's these people and it's all this stuff. Ultimately, the solution, a part of the solution, is the individual who gets the right information and knows how to stand in that truth And in the past, and I've mentioned this in the past, anybody who's decided to sign up for the right reasons and their heart is in the right place for the military, the police, any kind of government position, I'm with you. Now, unfortunately, the business model is foreign and overseas, and it creates horrible, horrible conflicts in these men and women's lives because they have to execute orders that don't really go with the flow of life. It goes with the flow of the corporate business model. And so today's show, for those who are just tuning in and have never heard of me before or any of the research that I do, the end goal of this segment is to help people understand, hey, where is this COVID coming from? Most people have heard of John Hopkins. And so in a nutshell is I'm showing everybody with examples and document titles and names that there's three layers back underneath. Peel the onion back three layers. You got John Hopkins, right, which is supposedly a big daddy in helping guide America and the American people and how we're going to handle the COVID and all this stuff. It's all marketing nonsense. It really goes down to backdoor, behind the scenes corporations, called the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board and the Wellcome Trust, which is all in England. And again, I'm not making any comment about the English people. I'm talking about private corporations that really pull the strings from the back end on this whole COVID thing. And the Wellcome Trust has been around for a long time, started off as a pharmaceutical company, and they're connected now with GlaxoSmithKline. Again, that's all in the UK. So even though they have an office in Philadelphia, it doesn't mean that it's a U.S. response team. You know, if I call the police because something's happening, I see something that's not right, and I call the police for support, I'm not expecting a police officer from Tanzania to show up. I'm not expecting somebody from the UK or China or anybody else to show up. I'm expecting an American to show up and protect the constitutional rights and protect and save lives. And so this is why I'm doing this. What I would consider a personal expense of my personal sacrifice is to try to bring this information out. So this Wellcome Trust, to get back to it, it is overseas and it is basically funneling all this information. And one of their components I found interesting on their website is that it says Our Strategy. One of their pages called Our Strategy. And one of the three things that they're going to work on moving forward is mental health, infectious diseases, and climate and health. Okay? It doesn't say anywhere about helping Americans. It's just about a business model. And so in the mental health part, this is what we're all dealing with. Some people can handle this pressure much easier than others. Some people are really struggling. And so the mental health is going to be a monstrous economic super boom. They're going to hire people to come to your house, make sure that you're mentally healthy and all this stuff because how are you dealing with the COVID? It's the second, third, or fifth year in. You've had problems if someone has any kind of reaction to the vaccine, it's going to create a giant mushroom explosion of industry of people who maybe are not qualified to go to other people's homes or visit you or do online Zoom calls and make huge amounts of money creating cases and opening files and updating and creating return investments with mental health. And so this is how they're going to change and transform America into it already is a corporation, but into a new system of managing human life using a system called the social credit system. And so the social credit system is everything you say and do in your private life, in your personal life, in your professional life is recorded 24/7 when you breathe in your bedroom, when you're taking a shower, when you're eating your food, when you're at the grocery store. Everything's recorded forever. And you may end up having – this is why I'm putting this out there so we don't have this outcome. At least I hope we don't. Where people come as ambassadors to mental health coming out of nowhere and saying, I'm going to guide you through everything. And then they're going to monetize your lifestyle. They'll come into your home and start asking questions. And why are you concerned? Why are you not concerned? Why are you not triple masking and all this stuff? So the Wellcome Trust has a business model for everybody, mental health, infectious disease, and climate and health. So you can, everybody can go look that up. But to really get down to sort of the nuts and bolts is even on the Welcome Trust website, they have How We Work. There's a page called How We Work. And there's all kinds of information there. But one of the things I found interesting was they have the Welcome Sanger Institute. And so that's just one of many, of course. And so on their website, they say, we use information from genome sequencing to advance an understanding of biology and improve health. Well, if everybody gets a swab up their nose to test on a regular basis, right, and that genetic data has to be processed somewhere, it's not being done in America, that's for sure. It's not being managed and you know, overseen by our fellow Americans. It's being managed by a foreign, overseas, an international, globalist conglomerate. And so this is just one of the branches on this tree. And if you look at the Welcome Sanger Institute, you can find out that this is one of the corporations amongst many. I just picked one of many that's going to be processing our genetic data, and when you put that into a computer, you're going to make an international ginormous biocomputer with your DNA. And most people didn't really want to volunteer all their DNA to be sequenced and processed in different countries. Now, I'm not saying the Welcome Sanger Institute is going to take your COVID test and process it. It's just a psychology that one or another corporation will. And this is one company that may be involved with that process. It's up to the listener to go look this up. And as I continue to do my research and continue to look, the Wellcome Trust was also involved with and funding an institute called the Francis Crick Institute. Crick is C-R-I-C-K. And Francis, of course, you know, people know that name. And so it's financed and funded by the Wellcome Trust. And so what is this Crick Institute? And why is it that when I went on their website, I found out that they had a statement about modern slavery? Well, it's a very, very deep story. But to give you the short version is that this institute is just another branch of this ginormous corporate takeover of the human family to privatize everything. You no longer have the right to do this and that, to travel, to move freely, to choose what we want, to buyer beware. We don't have those liberties anymore. They're being replaced with algorithms and behavior-based outcomes. That's why they want that mental health, because most people won't be able to handle that transition. But on the Francis Crick website, it says our history. Here, I'm going to read this out to you. We are a unique partnership between six of the world's leading biomedical research organizations, the Medical Research Council, the Cancer Research UK, the Wellcome Trust, of course, the University College of London, the Imperial College of London. Remember that in the beginning of COVID, that one of their models that supposedly came from the Imperial College of London is that we could have up to 2 million people that could unfortunately pass away from COVID. Well, you know, we didn't get that outcome. We got something different. So the information that's presented by some of these corporations is on purpose incorrect so that we can never be able to keep up with it. And so I looked up all these six of the biomedical research organizations, and every last one of them on their website has a statement called Modern Slavery Statement. And it goes back as early as 2017, 18, 19, and 20. And so the Sanger Institute has one, with the Wellcome Trust, the Crick Institute has one, the Medical Research Council has one, Cancer Research UK has one. They all have a modern slavery statement. Well, why would these institutions have to put out in unison, in lockstep approach to talk about modern slavery? Isn't this like what I was talking about earlier about the John Hopkins? It's about protecting people and from disasters and risk. Why do they have to make a statement about modern day slavery? And their point, and I'm not a legal, I don't do law, I don't practice law or medicine or give financial advice, but as a layman's person, My common sense tells me, why do pharmaceutical industries need to all collectively put out statements on modern-day slavery, knowing full well if you collect genetic material from people all over the world and the average individual, including myself, didn't know where it was going, which institution was processing it, what did they do with the data, does it go into an AI overseas, does it go into the AI in America, where is it all going? Modern-day slavery, we are living in this situation because the global industry, not an individual institute, the global industry perceives and treats us as slaves. That's why we're having a hard time dealing with this COVID, and one state is open for business, the next state is terrified, we have to triple mask. I think Oregon has a rule now where you can potentially have no end date for the mask. So why is that? How come it's so all over the place? It's designed to be chaotic. It's designed to be destabilizing so that when the financial collapse eventually occurs and the people are too concerned and the dollar's lost its value, especially when you dump $10 trillion into the economy in 12 months, unheard of in the history of the U.S. Incorporated or any corporation on earth, there's going to be a problem. And so that chaos, there's going to be people asking questions. So they've covered themselves in different ways. But just the basic superficial psychology of having a modern-day slavery statement on all these institutions, please read them yourselves and do your own interpretation. But my take on it is that there should never have been a need to put that out there unless there's maybe another take on it. So maybe just common sense would say you don't need to talk about something if you're not doing it, but you know, maybe there's something to this topic. And so even the Imperial College of London may have a statement on modern slavery. So the point of all this is very simple, including the Wellcome Trust, by the way. The Wellcome Trust website, wellcome.org, they also have a modern slavery statement. So that's up to the individual to look at it. So when you accumulate information on people, telling everybody to stay home, which is self-isolation, which is a prison term, going to isolation because you didn't do something right. Well, now it's being done to us. We're supposedly bad people, so we have to stay home and put all these masks on and accept, if you cover your face with the mask, but the only way to find out if there's COVID is to put a Q-tip way up in the back of your skull and to detect it. Why couldn't they just do a mouth swab? Well, there's all kinds of stuff related to this. This is not nothing to do with freedom or liberty. This has to do with a corporate business model. So the whole point of this show, this presentation I'm doing, is you're looking at three layers down on this COVID business model, and it's not American. And it's not being run and operated to save lives. It's there to create a new business model so that it opens the door to the social credit system. And so the social credit system is very, very important to people to understand. The social credit system, all it is, it's been operated in China as a beta, as a location to do it, a beta run to see how Chinese people, and by the way, China, as far as I'm concerned, is actually the United Nations, the government, not the people, the government. I feel very bad for the Chinese people because they're all slaves to this. And we're about to go down the same path as them very soon if we don't all wake up. But on CNN's website on October 1st, 2019, there was a whole thing that CNN did saying that there was a 70th anniversary for the Communist Party parade. And they said for the first time, the United Nations joined as China. And that wasn't a typo. That was what it is. And so the United Nations is embedded in many countries around the world. And they trick everybody by saying, oh, China's doing this and America's doing that, Canada's doing this. It's being operated by policy on the back end. And the UN is the public version, and the private behind the scenes are places like the Wellcome Trust, the Crick Institute, and I'm not trying to denigrate the employees there. They may not be aware of what I'm talking about. So it's not about, and this is not to attack anybody or to create a rift. It's to understand that this is critical information. If we don't know who's taking our data, our genetics, who's processing it, where these policies are coming from. How can we live any kind of free life? Do you want to live with your phone as your monitoring bracelet? Just like in Israel, they have freedom bracelets when you come back from the country. You have to put on an ankle or wrist bracelet to track where you are and to monitor every aspect of your life. That's not the America I grew up in, and it's not the Canada that I also grew up in as well. It is a new system where everything's going to be gone, and the way to force everybody into it is to collapse the economy. And so that chaos, people will be desperate. I need something. I don't want to live under a bridge. Well, we have universal basic income waiting for you. We have digital currencies. We have this and that, where it's a permanent tracking process, and it's all behavior-backed and digitally, genetically backed with your genetics. So this is a very deep, difficult subject to broach. Most people don't want to talk about this stuff because of their careers, their financial. We're all going to be going down the toilet if we don't talk about it, we don't wake up, and we don't stand up. And being angry and being frustrated can motivate an individual, but my only suggestion is for myself. I'm talking to myself. I'm just sharing my thoughts with you, is that I cannot approach any problem in any job I've ever had angry long term. I can be frustrated for a few moments or a few hours or a few days, but I have to get over it and start taking action. And so for me, doing research and sharing is overcoming the anger and the frustration by understanding it. Just like in the movie The Matrix, for those who have seen it, that came out in 1999, the main character, Neo, he had to fight and run the whole movie until he understood. Then when he understood, bullets couldn't stop him. He could fly. He turned the tables. He turned everything around. Where does it all come down to? Education. And one of the most important educators in my understanding of the history of today's world, his name is Jordan Maxwell. He's been educating the human family for 60 years. And he's been put through the ringer. And so has a lot of other great speakers and teachers out there. And so I owe a debt of gratitude to people like Jordan Maxwell, to the Daniel Brigmans out there, to you, George. I think even your family name, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I think your name, if I translate it, I think it's German. If I translate it to English, it means friend. And I can assure you, you're my friend, George.
Oh, thank you very much. And you're all our friends. Actually, if you're into the Bible code, there's a friend in there, too. He stops a nuclear war. Did that show with Joyce a long, 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 long time ago now. Anyway, we're out of time, unfortunately. But remember, Naomi Wolf said the social credit system can be turned into the social credit system in half an hour. She knows. She's a tech expert. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Power Hour Nation. The lives and the world we save will be ours. Good day.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.